Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Welcome.
Greetings and welcome to Wednesday's Remnant Battle Lines with the Watchman and Tower. Tonight on the show, we will be discussing Christian persecution continuing, as it's always continuing, Central U.S. weather, sex trafficking, a boss threatens, and also check out the Watchman's new book, now on all Ingram distribution channels and Amazon distribution worldwide, Steal the Darkness, a Christian mystery thriller. This is book one in a four-book series. It is Wednesday, February 28th, 2018, and we are glad you joined us. I'm Tower, and we are covering the end of days as they happen. This is Warren Radio. Boy, that's hard to get that out. It's Wednesday, the 28th, the last day of February. The readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 30, starting at verse 11 through chapter 34, verse 35. 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 1 through 39. And the New Testament portion is Mark chapter 7, starting at verse 1 through chapter 8, verse 38. You can check out our, follow us on Twitter. We have 3 Twitter accounts, that's hashtag Warn Radio, hashtag WGS underscore Watchman. Is that right, Dana? I don't know. I'm sorry. Greetings, Dana. I need you to come in.
Hello.
Hi there. Okay. You can follow us at Twitter on hashtag Watchman IS216, hashtag Warn Radio, or hashtag WGS underscore Watchman. And how are you doing tonight, Watchman?
Well, now that you got through that,
I'm a little flustered, I guess.
You ain't used to this, are you? You're a brand newbie. Dear God in heaven, woman. Give me strength.
So anyway,
deliver us, O Lord.
Yeah, you're funny. Ha ha. So join us weekly on our health radio, Get Healthy Young Living, at gethealthyyoungliving.com. You can find us on Facebook at Experience Healthy Young Living, and on Twitter at hashtag Irish underscore harvest.
Yes.
There. What else is going on?
Well, you know, the thing of it is we've been doing that thing on our little podcast for several weeks now. And if you haven't heard it, be sure to check it out. We talk about a lot of healthy different things. We talk about foods. We talk about essential oils and a bunch of other stuff. In an effort, this actually deals with the physical aspects. Well, it does get into the emotional, spiritual, but it's mainly designed to go with the other part. You know, our shows deal with the spiritual nature of men, where they need to repent and walk in the way of the Lord. And our healthy podcast or our healthy radio deals with you being healthy, learning how to be healthy. And we talk about a lot of things. So check it out. And remember, as Tower said, gethealthyyoungliving.com. And so tonight,
yeah,
of course, we are...
It's a lot of fun.
We are in... This really is the last day of the month. Tomorrow's the first.
Yes, it is. Isn't that crazy?
All day long, it's the last day.
Yeah, and Friday, 2 days away, our weather's supposed to be almost 50 degrees. I'm excited about that.
Yeah, we haven't been 50 degrees around here in a long time.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking forward to the warmer weather. Thank God.
Yeah. Well, so am I, and I'm ready for it. And the snow is melting. We just got another big heap of snow. And, of course, we can get snow all the way up till June around here. But, you know, the groundhog, okay, this is important. He's a good source. He said there was only 6 more weeks of winter, and that was 4 weeks ago. So according to my calculations,
we've only got a couple
Ooh. More. So he'd better be right, or we're going to look him up.
Yes, we are.
Of course, I think the other one, there's two of them that they follow. You know, I mean, I guess you could look at all the weathermen we have in America today. Maybe that's what the groundhogs are trying to be. They need more of them in their union.
Oh, I don't know.
The National Groundhog Weather Service Union. There's the president and vice president. There's no more. They're the only two in the union.
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, the birds, all we have to do is look out and we can see the birds. They're gathering to go north. And, of course, a lot of them here, they spend winter over here on the river. And as soon as it gets nice, a little bit closer to summer, they all leave. They head out. I don't know where they go, but they just leave. Whereas you can find them raising some of their young, and then after a while, they just all disappear. So
I think there's a house down the way that feeds them, so I think they hang out around that place.
Well,
I think that's why we don't see them.
Well, you know, I don't know if that's really the thing or not, because they do leave, even from that other house, so...
Yeah.
Well, at any rate, up front, we are talking about China. And, you know, over the years, we have always seen certain lawyers coming to the help of Chinese Christians and that are facing persecution by the Chinese government. Now, there's one that's... I don't know if I can even say his name. Li Bangwang. And he died of liver failure at the hospital in Nanjing. He was 49. He does have an 8-year-old son and a wife named Zhu. And he died of stage liver cancer, of the final stage liver cancer. And he didn't go through a physical exam before, so he didn't know that he had the condition. He was sent to the hospital after he felt ill, and he only learned of it the last stage liver cancer these past 2 days, and he died. And, of course...
Wow, that's crazy.
Now, his longtime friend, Bob Fu, now that's of China Aid. Bob Fu has been the West really gets a lot of information from Bob because he does head up China Aid. They deal directly with the things that are happening in China. And he says that his death is suspicious given that he was just in Washington attending the National Prayer Breakfast at the beginning of the month. He did not have liver-related illness before, and his death raises a lot of questions. The Chinese regime should be fully held accountable. And, of course, he was kidnapped. This is the lawyer that was kidnapped by 10 Public Security Bureau plainclothes and Ziyang province. He was defending victims of land grabs, and he was beaten severely and threatened with dismemberment should he refuse to leave. They abandoned him on the side of the road after leaving him with bruises and soft tissue contusions.
Good grief.
But we've seen this before. We've actually seen people that disappeared out of Hong Kong that were Christians and were standing up. And we've seen a number of important people that just disappeared, and they wound up on the Chinese mainland. You know, over the years, though, we've seen some of those lawyers, as they've tried to protect or defend the Chinese Christians and others, we've actually seen them thrown in jail and persecuted themselves.
Yeah.
Because China doesn't, once they decide to do something, it doesn't matter whether you're a lawyer or not. And, of course, the one problem that I have with this, and China's not going to change. You know, the one problem, and it's a big problem, and that is Walmart and Target and Kmart and, you know, just about every major retailer in America all does business on a regular basis with China. Matter of fact, it was Walmart and their great big huge Walmart ships that came out of China that actually made the news a number of years ago because they were so huge, just packed full of goods for Walmart stores in America and around the world. And, of course, it's their business that actually turned China around as well. And became a major power player. And, of course, we found out over the years that because of the corporate taxes and a lot of other things pushed by Obama and Clinton and many others, that many of our major corporations left America, and many of our jobs left America, and much of our organizational structure for manufacturing left America. And so, matter of fact, the only president we've had, as much, you know, whether you like him or hate him, is Donald Trump. He's the only one that's actually talked the speak of big business and has actually done something to make people invest in America. And you know,
another problem I have with this buying the goods out of being manufactured in China is that the people working in the manufacturing industry live in these, I've seen a report, and they live in these dorms. They go there and get a job hoping to make their lives better and support their family. And they end up living in these dorms, and they work long, hard hours, 7 days a week, barely have money left over once they pay for living in the dormitories and for the food and stuff to even live on. I mean, there's nothing left to help support their family. And that's a problem. The Chinese people, the ones owning the manufacturing plants, whatever you call them, they are the ones making the money, and the people are still suffering. It hasn't helped them.
Well, that's true, and that is another problem. You know, there are millionaires in China, and there are people with a lot of money, and in these factories, and this is what the problem is, because it's not fair, given the fact that you have a lot of these guys putting together stuff for practically nothing, and China comes out, sells these things in an undercut method, and American companies can't compete, Western companies can't compete. And, of course, another major problem we have with this is that as China persecutes Christians and other groups over there, that we allow them to get away with it. We don't put sanctions against them or nothing. We continue to act as if everything's fine. And, there are some major issues when it comes to this, because some of these nations are not going to change. China is not going to change. North Korea is not going to change. Iran is not going to suddenly turn around and love Israel, period. And Abbas and those in the West Bank and Gaza are not going to turn around and just love Israel and all the Jews. There is so much hatred and so much politics involved worldwide that many times the Christians and other groups that are persecuted never do find any help. And if it weren't for voices like Bob Fu of China Aid and the many others that we have talked about, including the American Center for Law and Justice, you know, they would not have a voice at all. Now, the good thing about the American Center of Law and Law and Justice, Jordan Seklo, his group will actually file lawsuits against the American government and others in order to get you know, a little bit of coverage on this and force the hand. And they've done a lot of stuff in the United Nations and in our own country and other countries. They also dealt with Iran, trying to get them to do stuff when there was a number of people being held over there. And this is what needs to happen. We need to let these nations know we're not going to put up with it. But you have a big problem, you know, and it's not just going to turn around. And, you know, and here's another one that you and I are always talking about, the blasphemy laws, and this, and around the world in Muslim nations, the blasphemy law is used again and again. In Indonesia, we see it. We see it used in a number of other countries, but the most notorious is one country. Can you tell me what one country that is?
Oh, Pakistan.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
And, you know, it just gets to the point that, you know, and the thing of it is, Pakistan, and as well as India, who is Hindu, they do have Pakistans and Sikhs and Christians there, but it is a Hindu government, and they also come against Christians. And some of these nations just need to come out and say, well, look, I know our Constitution says we guarantee it, but we don't, period.
Yeah,
you know, Pakistan is going to remain Muslim, and they hate Christians. India is going to remain Hinduism, and they're going to hate, you know, and come against anybody else. And in America, we used to be a Christian, Judeo-Christian nation, but because of Obama and a bunch of others, we have tried to change our spots. And so you have this thing today that even in America, it's not okay to be a Judeo-Christian or believe in that or what we were before because of where we're at today politically in this country. You know, America is just really suffering an identity crisis and has for probably 15 years that I know of. But six Christians from a town located near Faisalabad were charged with committing blasphemy. That was this month, you know.
That's the thing... Crazy. You don't have a right to your own opinion in these countries. So anything, just walking down the street looking cross-eyed at somebody, you're going to get in trouble.
Well, yeah.
Because you're a Christian.
Yeah, just like that young little gal that got in trouble for drinking out of the water fountain with the other women. They were working in things. Asa Bibi, you know.
Yeah.
And she still hasn't been released.
But she's been in there 5 or 6 years, I think.
Yeah, she was sentenced to death, but they never did kill her. Instead, she's just in jail in suspended animation, so to speak. And we've never heard from her. We don't know if she's okay. She's not released. You know, and even if they do release them, a lot of these Muslims take it on themselves. Just go kill those who have been released by the government. And in this case, these Christians, it was actually over an issue of a kite flying. And it was turned into a religious dispute. Now, that's according to International Christian Concern, who is monitoring this. They said Christian Muslim children got into a fight over catching a kite in the street, which later involved the elders of the two communities. And to teach the Christians a lesson, the Muslims of the area damaged Bible verses, which were painted on the outside of their church. and Muslims wanted to paint the name of an Islamic political party over the verses, but the Christians reacted to it, and the issue turned into a religious dispute.
Good grief.
And so they could...
ridiculous.
They could face 10 years in prison. And right now, only two of the six accused are in police custody. But, I mean, you know, this is the way it is. And, of course, if you look at, you know, the issue, when you as a Christian or a minority get involved, you know, for instance, if you're in a nation and Islam takes over, then you have to become subject to dhimmitude. And so you have to sign a thing saying you agree to be a third party, you know, one of the lower classes of people in their society, and you come last and your voice isn't heard. And so if they don't sign that, no, also agree to a tax as well as this social outcast, then you're not going to make it alive. And of course, I've said this before, I would never function in such a society. You know, I would tell them, no, I am not, you know, I'm not going to agree to nothing. You know, and I'm not going to become a Muslim, and I'm not going to recognize your government. You know, and of course, I'm an American, you know, and I've been here all my life. This is all I know. So, you know, for all of these people who think, well, Islam's going to take over America and we're going to do this, it's not going to be that easy. Because if Muslims want America, they're going to pay, and they'll pay a heavy price. And when they're done, there's not going to be much left for them to really take over. And I can guarantee you, you take Christians today and others who are used to living the American way of life and under our Constitution, they're not going to operate very well in this kind of a subversive society where Muslims take over and treat you like a piece worse than you'd treat a dog. And how many times have you and I covered the fact of these Muslims stealing the daughters of these families?
Oh, I know. It's horrible.
And they rape them and force them to become a Muslim so they can marry them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, all this stuff is just rubs me the wrong way. I can't do it. And, of course, when we talk about these things, there's a lot of issues involved here. Most of these Christians cannot do much of anything.
And they're not getting any support from the police or the government officials.
No.
They get none.
Well, see, the problem you have with the police are Muslims themselves, and they go to the local mosque. And, of course, when they go to the local mosque, then the people in the local mosque threaten their cops. So the cops, you know, are pressured. And, of course, it's all political.
Yep. It's too bad.
Yeah, it is. And of course... You know, and here again, you know, it's not going to change. And, of course, as we see society and moving towards the beast, we're going to see more and more of this kind of thing until the beast actually takes over the whole world, pretty much.
And brings in his peace.
Yeah. Woo-hoo. Yeah, yeah, his peace. That's right. A peace that'll lead you right into the pit of God's wrath. That's what that will do.
Yeah.
And, you know, and of course, another one that we've been really following is over in Nigeria and Kenya. Now, of course, here not too long ago, there was another big attack by Al-Shabaab, I think it was. And they grabbed another 100 girls in Nigeria.
When was that?
I seen this within the last week and a half to 2 weeks.
Oh, that's horrible.
Yeah. You know, and how these guys get away with it, I will never know. Now, see, Bushari is the Muslim leader of Nigeria, and he is the one that replaced Jonathan Goodluck Johnson, who was a Christian. And Bushari says, he's said with his lips that he would protect just the Fulani there as well as the others who are being attacked by Al-Shabaab. But no matter what he says, They still haven't been able to do it. And Nigeria, of course, during the, there was a downturn in the oil, and they're not making the money in oil, neither is Venezuela. Matter of fact, I don't know if you saw this or not, Tower, but America is pushing to be the number one oil producer, being producing more oil than Russia. Russia was the leader.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that.
And
wow.
And of course, now America's, I don't know exactly when it's going to be, but they're looking at the time when America is going to be the top oil producer in the world. Now, I remember, how many years ago was that? 15 years ago or so, when we first heard about the fact that there was going to be a change in the American oil production system, and that in fact they would produce more oil than anybody else, that it had been kept quiet all these years, and now all of a sudden they were going to produce it. Remember that?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, it. And I forgot the guy that reported on it. He was... he was a Christian minister who actually worked with a bunch of top oil officials, and he got to get the inside scoop on that. And at the time he was saying a lot of this, it was sounded really, you know, wild. But it really came to pass. You know, so now we are producing a lot of oil now. And, of course, Obama actually came on this on the scene, and before he ever got elected, he had said that his goal was to shut down coal and oil both. And and in our neck of the woods, he did shut it down. And so
a lot of people got laid off. It was devastating to this state.
Yeah. But as soon as he got out of there and Trump got in, then everything turned around, as well as people's major companies and others invested. They're investing in America now. Now, let's get back to this other thing in Kenya. Now, Kenya is the other one that we've talked about. Now, this again is Al-Shabaab, and it was in a little place down there where three Christian teachers were killed. And a local pastor there told International Christian Concern they had three dedicated professional teachers who worked in a primary school there. And they had remained in the area in spite of the fact that you had Al-Shabaab coming in. Because the one thing Al-Shabaab and you know, all these people don't like, they don't like teachers teaching anybody anything. Because once you get education and you learn the truth, then these morons of Al-Shabaab can't trick you anymore. So they, the first thing they do, they will target teachers and schools and things like that because they don't want the women taught and they don't want the boys ruined. They want the boys to fight for them and die for their cause, and they want the girls to bear the babies and become their wives, even if they're 9 years old.
That is just wrong.
Yeah.
That's wickedness.
Well, you know, the thing of it is, I seen an imam title, of, you know, imam in a story who was talking about Muhammad. And he said, yeah, Muhammad had a wife who was 9 years old.
Yeah, and, they're pedophiles.
Yeah, yeah. And the thing of it is, he was talking about it and bragging about what he had done. But this is what Islam is. I mean, Obama seemed to lose track of what it is. He never admitted it, never wanted to admit it. And many people today believe that he, in fact, was secretly a closet Muslim who didn't really want to come out. And, of course, I seen him in a title the other day talking about, I think it was just today, that said that he didn't have any major issues, you know, that rang against his administration, that everything worked like clockwork. Well, that's because he was deaf, blind, and dumb. You know, the fact of the matter is that since Trump has gotten in there, he's had Obama and Obama's minions who joined him not too far from the White House. He set up shop in an office. We know that. Everybody knows that. We know also that there's several groups, quite a number of groups that Soros and others were actually funding. Millions of dollars have been poured into the news and others to put out rigged stories and other things to attack Trump. And, of course, this is how these people fight. So trying to say that you set and went through this and didn't have any major things that was newsworthy of your administration is just a pack of lies, Obama, and you are a liar. And, you know, the bottom line of it is that no matter what you are, you know, or who you are, whether you're Democrat or Republican, you know, unless this nation starts working together, this nation is not going to stay together. And, you know, the hatred is too great. And
Obama worked hard on that.
Yeah.
Dividing the nation and especially with the race. He was the divider.
Now, you know,
he wants America to fall. If you don't stand together, you're going to fall. If you're not united.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Now, you know, one of the things that has been happening, and that is within the middle, within the central U.S., there has been a lot of storms that's come in. You know, I didn't even know because I haven't been watching the weather at all. And I've been taking care of the news stories and things like that, dealing in the areas that we deal with, and I haven't been paying much attention. And it wasn't until I started, you know, I ran into all the floods that were happening across the central U.S., and that's from Michigan all the way down. And, you know, Kentucky and a lot of others were, you have storms. And of course, Arkansas is the same way. They have storms and they have floods. They have tornadoes and everything. You know, I mean, it's quite horrific what has been going on there. And, you know, this thing isn't done yet because we're not even into spring yet.
Oh, I know.
And so, you know, even down in Texas, there was floods. And Texas does get flooding. And, you know, as I look now, you know, you talk about Cincinnati, and you had the Ohio River that flooded.
Yeah.
And you had Pennsylvania Avenue. And this was in Lansing, Michigan. It's one of the main ones there. It was flooded. And then in Clarksville, Tennessee, they had a storm there that destroyed all kinds of homes and things. And, of course, you just have a lot of things that are happening. And you know, whenever I see a lot of this, there's one thing that comes to mind, and that's judgment.
And, yeah, me too. That's what I think.
Yeah. AccuWeather said more than 200 river gauges reported levels above flood stage all the way from the Great Lakes to eastern Texas. Now, that's 200. Now, that's a lot of rivers to be flooding.
It sure is.
Now, if you talk about downtown Louisville in Kentucky, the Ohio River was at 34.9 feet some time ago. The normal level is 12 feet. And in 97, the water measured 38.8 feet, you know. And that caused 50,000 homes to flood and saw $200 million in damage. So now you've got all this happening again.
That's just horrible. I pray the Lord to have mercy in his judgment because I see it as judgment.
Yeah.
And I just pray that God will have mercy on his people and have mercy on the others, too, that they'll be saved.
Yeah. And of course, you know, we've lived up where we've lived all of our lives. Our family came here. And, you know, we do have we get snow and a lot of others, but we don't get what a lot of the rest of them get. You know, we don't get that many tornadoes. We do get a few, but not many. And, of course, the flooding, you know, usually the flooding is a flash flood in the mountains that comes down, that follows the drainage, and that can be devastating. But, you know, another thing, and Gatestone covered this because they talked about persecution of Christians. Now, this particular report talks about a lot of different things that's going on, and we've reported on a number of these, and there's so many we could take up a lot of time. But, you know, it just amazes me. Raymond Ibrahim, who you can do a particular coverage of him and get on his website. But he's author of Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians. And, you know, he does this for Gatestone Institute and puts out a whole issue here. And, you know, one of the top of the list is Pakistan again. And, you know, it just amazes me how, you know, of course, now Trump, not too long ago, said he was going to stop Pakistan from receiving any funds because of the persecution of Christians that were going on. But, you know, the bottom line of it is, it's about time America's money and resources stopped helping these countries that are persecuting Christians. It's a period. And I mean, if they're killing other groups too, I'm opposed to that too. But, you know, in the world today, when we talk about persecution and people dying, the ones causing it 9 times out of 10 are Christians. Now, even when you talk about the recent killings, you know, in America, and I wanted to go to this because I'm reporting on it. You know, we, and this was something that came out from Front Page Mag, and it was Daniel Greenfield, who is a Shulman Journalism Fellow at the Freedom Center, and he did a report because everybody said, you know, about, you know, what was happening. And he says, turn on CNN and you get the impression that mass shootings are mainly carried out by mentally unstable teenagers with assault rifles in high schools. Now, see, that's what they look like. And that's what CNN and MSN and others point to. When, in fact, in the last 5 years, 5 major mass shootings were carried out using AR-15 or similar rifles. The perpetrators of the Parkland School Massacre, the Las Vegas Massacre, the Texas First Baptist Church Massacre were Americans. Muslim terrorists, however, were responsible for the mass shootings at the Pulse nightclub and in San Bernardino. While the Vegas shooter was responsible for the deadliest attack last year, the deadliest attacks of 2015 and 2016 were both carried out by Muslim terrorists. 2 of the last 3 years were dominated by mass shootings carried out by Muslim terrorists. This is in America, folks.
Wow.
In the last decade, there were only 10 major mass shootings where the death toll went into the double digits. 3 of those were carried out by Muslim terrorists. And he says that's all the more remarkable since Muslims make up less than 1% of the United States population, but account for 33% of major mass shootings in America today.
Wow.
Yet if you watch CNN, MSNBC, ABC, or any of the other news, you will not find these statistics anywhere.
Right.
They will not tell you. See, and this is the idea here when we begin to talk about these things. You know, you get the impression when you see, you know, some a white boy or something like this, an American do something, and everybody says, see, I told you the Americans are doing it. No, the Americans don't. If you look around the world, a majority of the killings, the violence, and the wars are done by Muslims, period.
Yep.
And if you look at how many Muslims are in the EU and see what's happened over there, what you see is the political establishment of leaders being afraid to make policy and stop this stuff so they don't stop the rapes, they don't stop the no-go zones, which is happening around the EU, including one of the worst in Sweden. And so you have a big problem. and Switzerland. I mean, you have a lot of problems here. But, you know, Pakistan is a major player in persecution. Kenya is another major player. Nigeria, major player when it comes to finding persecutions. Now, if you look in the EU, you go to Germany and you find a group of Muslims, for instance, in this, Ibrahim gives an example. They attacked a 23-year-old Muslim convert to Christianity. He was assaulted because his attacker saw his Christian cross and were angry that he had converted from Islam. And so this is where we're at. And, of course, you've got the Maldives. I mean, it just, you know, it goes on and on. And in Egypt, of course, it's the cops. We're always talking about the cops, you know. And if you want to get killed, then sit with Christians, you know. And that's really what they talk about in Egypt, you know. It comes down to it that if you want to get killed, just begin being friends with Christians or sitting with them, yeah, and you'll get killed.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I mean, Islam can deny it. Indonesia is another one, by the way. Mali is another one. Turkey, Malaysia, Saudi Arabia, Iran, Sudan. All of these are places where you find a ton of persecution against Christians.
Yeah.
And yet we continue to play this game that everything's all right. And we don't hold these nations accountable. And see, because you have leaders in Europe and in the UK that play footsie with the Muslims, instead of holding these people accountable and saying, we've got laws in our country you have to obey, they let them get away with it. And that's why you have some places in Europe that are absolutely no-go zones where the cops can't even go into them because these Muslim areas are like war zones and even the army doesn't go in. It is a mess over there. Germany, they're finally getting rid of Merkel because she's the one that did it. Allowed them all in. She's not going to be there for much longer. But Germany's a mess, thanks to her. And you've got this even in the UK. One of the biggest things going in the UK is the fact they've had these groups of Muslim men who are secretly raping these young kids and having sex with them. This was a big thing over there in the UK. It still hasn't been taken care of. And you have a mess. And nobody wants to say what the problem is. Nobody wants to deal with it because these Muslims aren't going to go quietly into the night. You shouldn't have let them in because they're going to take over your country. They're going to rape your daughters. They're going to kill you. Now, they're not all like that. But in the world today, whether you like it or not, Muslims are responsible for this kind of thing. Now, they either need to straighten up and stop it, which they're not going to do, or there's going to be a bigger war than you care to even think about. You know, the one thing about it, you may not like the Crusades, but one thing the Crusaders did, they kept them out of Europe and the UK. They did.
Yeah, they did. What needs to happen again?
And, you know, and if you come into a country, it's not your country. If it's going to be your country, then you have to obey the laws of our country.
Yeah.
But see, this is the thing that never made any sense. See, we as Christians, you know, you go into some of these countries and you can't have a church service, you can't speak the name of Jesus, you can't carry a Bible, can't do nothing. But we bring them over here to America and they put up their little shacks where they can go in and worship their God, and they go out and they can pack the street doing it, they can wear their hijabs, they can do everything they want to. But see, you ain't going to get away with being a Christian and carry your Bible and have a nice on-fire church in their country where they're from. No, they bring it over here and expect America to back down to them. Now, see, this is the way it's been going for 20 years now.
It shouldn't be like that. That's wrong.
Yeah.
It's probably been going on longer. We've got to be politically correct, you know. That's irritating.
Well, you know, the problem of it is that, you know, we just have a lot of differences in here, and it's too bad that you can't get together. But see, the Lord himself said, you know, I have not come to bring peace. And he hasn't. The sword is the word of God. And he says, and he said, some of those will be enemies, will be those of your own household. And he says, they're going to come against you. They're going to deliver you up. They're going to persecute you. You know, be not afraid of those who can kill the body. You know, these are some of the things the Lord said. And he said it for a reason. And this is where your world is headed, folks.
That's right.
Now, we talked about Europe, but see, now I talked about the Dimmihood, or the Dhimmi, and the Dhimmi refers to the conquered non-Muslim. And the official, definition is the one, you know, that conquered non-Muslim is one who agrees to live as a second-rate, tolerated citizen under Islamic rule, submitting to a separate, demeaning set of laws and the demands of his Islamic masters.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Now you see, there is a report, and this is done by Gatestone Institute, and they talk about how Europe is submitting to the demands of Islam in the name of diversity and human rights. Now, they're falling right into this trap, and the leaders are doing it. And the problem of it is, when your leaders lead you into that, the citizens of the country have no choice. They automatically become a tolerated, second-rate citizen, because now you have Muslims in the country that look down on you as if you're dirty. And of course, the infidel Zeus also, if you're a tolerated citizen, you have to pay the protection tax or die, the jizya.
Yeah.
And that's why when we see in Pakistan, all these Christians who try to stand up for rights have no rights. There is no rights. And, of course, the idea that Gatestone was getting to us, telling you how the local authorities and the others in the EU and even in the UK are actually giving in to Islam and, you know, forcing a dimitude on the entirety of Europe.
That's disturbing. That's wrong. They shouldn't allow that to happen.
Now, see, they give an example about Dimmihood in Europe being manifested on World Hijab Day. It's a yearly recurring February event founded in 2013 by a Bangladeshi immigrant to the U.S., Nazma Khan, to fight discrimination against Muslim women through awareness and education. Several British MPs chose to don the hijab. These included a number of them in high up in Labour and others. And, you know, it's kind of interesting here. You know, they push to wear the hijab. They even do this in America. But as is pointed out, and you and I have talked about it, that while they're wearing the hijab, for instance, 29 Iranian women were arrested for shedding the hijab and were likely subjected to rape and other torture, as is common in Iranian prisons, because they refused to wear it. And so in the West, where women are free, all of a sudden we have this stupid idea that we're going to make them wear the hijab because we think better of ourselves, not understanding that the women in other countries are raped and every other kind of thing when they don't wear the hijab.
Yeah, they said many find liberation and respect and security through wearing it. well, that is just wait till the Muslims take over, and then they'll see that it's not respect, it's slavery.
Well, and we haven't even got on female genital mutilation.
Yeah.
I mean, you could deal with that being a female better than me, but it sure don't look like that would be something that we should be doing to our daughters.
No, that genital mutilation is horrible. I've read of young girls dying, bleeding to death.
Well, and then of course there's the honor killings. And new figures show that honor violence and forced marriage crimes go unpunished in London. The data shows that between 2015 and 2017, police recorded 759 honor crimes and 265 forced marriages in London alone. But only 138 people were charged with offenses.
Oh, my goodness.
Now,
that's crazy.
Diana Nami, executive director of the Iranian and Kurdish Women's Rights Organization, which provides refuge for victims, said, "What makes it so alarming is that the figures we obtained through Freedom of Information requests show that, at the same time, since the criminalization of forced marriage in 2015, many more people at risk than ever before are coming forward for help."
Well, that's good. They're coming forward.
But see, the thing of it is, you have Europe pushing this demitude. You have Europe pushing this wearing of the hijab. You have this failed, law enforcement of honor violence and forced marriages. And this can also go into rape. And we've seen this, when it happened in Germany, when it happened in France, massive rapes and other things that went on. The cops, they just failed to hold them accountable. I even read reports of a guy who had sodomized a young boy, and he even got away with it.
Yeah, should have been shot.
And so these are the problems. And we've got a lot of problems in America. And the last thing we need is some of this nonsense going on. And especially from politicians. Now, Tara, you and I both have talked about this for a lot of years. But there's a lot of problems that came on America because of our leadership. And that leadership
was
through Obama.
Yes, that's very true.
And it was through Bill Clinton as well, because a lot of his policies weren't good either. And, of course, we could go way back. But the bottom line of it is, it's always the political leaders and the leadership of your country that ends up getting you into a certain way. And as my dad said, and I've quoted him many times, a people deserve the leadership that they allow to be over them. And that's why we have a right to bear arms. Because if you read the voices of our forefathers tell us that when the guard that's been put over us failed to do their duty, it is our duty and our right to overthrow such.
Yeah. Well, you talked about the leaders and how it affects the people and changes them, and they go along with the leadership. They did the same thing in Israel. You see that over and over.
Yep,
with the kings
they did.
In Israel.
Exactly.
And the
latest news, they were looking for pagan priests. This is for people who are in jail that are pagan. So they're looking for some official pagan priests who can lead in paganism in the prisons.
Oh, my God.
True story. This is for the Federal Bureau of Prisons. They're looking for pagan. And it reminded me of Ahaz and Jezebel, getting the prophets of Baal. Well, let's just go find, dear God in heaven. And this is America, okay? And, of course,
Very scary.
We've lost in the prisons because the Muslims are the ones they brought in to take over.
Yep, that's right.
And a lot of times Christianity has been kicked out because many times the churches and the Christians are asleep at the wheel.
Well, the Muslim ideology appeals to these people that are in prison because of the way they have chosen to live, and they're full of hatred, and they think the establishment's against them, so they're, you know, they have all these chips on their shoulder.
Yeah.
And they go with the Muslims because they think they can. I think it's a revenge thing is why a lot of times they go.
Well,
Muslims, I don't know.
Well, think of all of the various training centers, Islamic training centers they have around America now, and there's been a lot of reports of that. We've covered that as well.
And see, they can get trained, and they can take their revenge out on the people that have put them in prison.
Well, you know, they are training for the day when Muslims and Christians will fight in America. That's exactly what they're doing. We've reported on that, too. There are sources to that. There's information on that. And the problem of it is that especially 8 years under Obama, you know, our government, our FBI, and all of our law enforcement was afraid to mention or do anything about it, including enforce our borders. And now we have people in this country that are illegal, and they think they have a right to be here when they're illegally here.
That's right.
Well, we're going to have to get out of here.
Okay, well, join us tomorrow night on Thursday, March 1st, for Dunamis of Acts Part 2 on The Promise on Battle Lines. Thank you for joining us tonight. We love you. We pray for you. God be with you and bless you. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. Shalom. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.